One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for coming back to the show. I am Ryan with Dave and Bobby. We're the Degenerate Podcast. Well, so first of all, my car's still in the shop. Yes, and I actually had to get a ride from Dave over here. So I did my go-to move, and I'm waiting for a ride. I find a bar and post up.
Okay, I like
so
this.
So I happen to be in East County, and
we're off to a good start.
I've been to East County bars before, all right? I feel like I know the lay of the land. I was just at this bar recently waiting for a ride, and it was fine. It was quiet. I'm an alone bar drinker from time to time.
Absolutely. I feel like you alone in a bar is like Michelangelo with a bunch of marble. Like, that's just where you're meant to be.
Yes, I come up with some of my best stuff there. And sometimes, well, you know, a lot of the time, I like being there alone because I can compose my thoughts. You know, we've talked about it before.
Right.
I want to pick a seat where I'm not going to fucking hear anybody that I don't want to hear. Sometimes I tune in on conversations and I just start writing material.
There's a lot of sad alone in a bar guys. I feel like alone in the bar, that's your happy place.
Yeah, no, that's fine with me. Yeah, like fucking, I told you, like some people are like, hey, where are you at? The harp. Who's there?
Nobody.
One. Oh, so it sucks? No, it's awesome. Don't come here. You know what? I'm not at that bar. Forget I said that.
See, I'm like, I don't mind hearing other people's stories, but I do not want anyone chatting to me. Like, do not bother me.
That is a big problem sometimes. Of all sudden, like Dave, when you pick me up, there's that lady that came in, sat next to a guy, and went, can I sit here? And he's like, yeah, sure. And she just went off, and I'm like, that's my nightmare.
Yeah.
I pointed that. I'm like, I need stipulations when someone says, can I sit here? It's yes, but.
As long as you don't talk to me.
Don't fucking say a word to me unless I speak to you first.
I'm a little bit on the opposite end of that because I do enjoy some good alone time. I can get down with some nice alone time. I appreciate
and
that.
And you have it a lot because your wife's a world traveler, so you're just stuck in your house.
That's true. However, there is something to be said for just talking to crazy-ass people in a bar. Like, there is something that I love. The crazier, the nuttier, the weirder, the better of, like, oh, I want to get to the bottom of this. I think of it like a Sherlock Holmes mystery. I'm like, who did what to you to make this happen?
I do that, too, from time to time. Well, more often than not, actually. I try and piece together a backstory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, and that's where I'm like, I'm okay listening to someone else get to that mystery. I'll just listen. Okay. I don't want to be involved.
I love it. Dude, I get so excited. And then every once in a while, there's almost always a moment where, like, the person is in there and they're yelling about Jews or something. And you're like, what's up with this guy? And then you start talking to them. And at some point, they're like, oh, blah, blah. And then this guy touched me when I was 9. You're like, I figured it out. All right, there we go.
I'm just picturing Bobby cross-examining someone at the bar. Like, and didn't you also say that on the same night?
He keeps a little desk lamp with him at all times, so he could be like Wayne Knight and Basic Instinct, just grill people.
I also have an overweight black friend that I call repeatedly just to have him come on and be like, damn it, just get the info.
So anyways, but it sometimes gets a little much when I'm just trying to clear my head and the conversations on either side of me are just too obtuse, too loud, too unignorable. And so this was one of those times. I walk in there and there's only one seat at this entire U-shaped bar available, and it's between two groups of people.
Yeah, when I walked in, he was sandwiched in between a bunch of folks. I was like, ooh.
I'm like, I guess I'm sitting here. Shit.
You're on the middle seat in the plane, bud.
Now, there's some UFC recaps on. I'm like, I can get behind that. I can play on my phone. I can write down some notes of the show. I'll be fine. They start showing the female UFC fighters training. And the guys to my left immediately break in to a very in-depth, detailed conversation about which one they'd like to fuck and why.
Sure.
I've never been a let's talk about who we want to bone guy. Even when I was a kid. Even when I was a teenager, I never appreciated the friend that's like, oh, see that chick over there? Look at that ass. I just liked it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something I need to picture. And also, why are we talking about this? This seems like an activity you participate in or you don't, and there's not a lot of chatter about it.
I don't need a lot of commentary. There's no Joe Rogan's of porn just sitting there. Yeah. See what he's doing there? He's got his leg back. That's perfect.
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about it too much, but now that you bring this up, that doesn't apply to a lot of other things, right? Like, we wouldn't accept it if somebody's like, dude, I got this fucking sandwich. I am going to eat the shit out of this. Bro, I'm going to start by peeling back the wrapper, and then I'm going to wrap my lips around that.
Actually, that's a conversation I could get behind. I'd be all about that. Like, dude, I got this burrito at home. Let me tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, and so they launch into that. I'm like, And so, yeah, I was like, oh, you see that girl with the bald head? I'm like, yeah, Rose, and I'm, oh, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So then.
Sorry, I want to interrupt. Did anybody in this conversation, did this subject come up? I think I could beat her ass.
Only because it didn't come up by circumstance did it not happen. But, you know, if it did, if I'd said the words, oh, you couldn't beat that fucking world Muay Thai champion.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they would have been off the rails on that conversation. And it would have been too maddening.
Because I had a friend, and this is a little bit of a side story, but I had a friend a while back, and this was years ago. This is going on, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or something. And he made the proclamation, there is not a woman on earth who can beat me up.
I remember that guy. You mentioned that guy. And he backed out of a fight when you tried to set it up.
Right. Now, this is not a big guy. He has zero combat experience. He's not an ex-wrestler. He's just zero combat experience. Sure. Just full of himself.
He doesn't need any of that. He's a guy.
Yeah, that was his idea.
I've proved it on all my ex-girlfriends. Not one of them stood a chance.
At the time,
the cops were very clear about that.
At the time, I was still training boxing, and I was training some female strikers who were MMA people, but I was their boxing coordinator. And so I was training some of them, and I was like, I got a girl. I got three girls who would beat the shit out of this
guy.
Yeah,
of course.
And I made a big deal, and he kept saying, no, nobody could ever beat me. So we made a deal where he would fight any woman that I could get. Now, the largest woman I could get at the time was a 135-pounder. And she wasn't even a legit 135-pounder. She's walked around at 135 pounds.
All right.
He was 190-some-odd pounds. She agreed to it. She was like, yeah, I'll beat the shit out of this guy for you. No problem. I'll put him in a darce in 2 seconds and put him to sleep. The only stipulation, and this was from the venue, not from her. This was from the venue owner, was I can't have more than a 50-pound weight differential. That's true, men, women, men, anything. I don't allow more than a 50-pound weight differential for any event because I would get in trouble. Like, there's some rules. And so
people might poke their head in there.
The guy was 191 pounds, and he had to lose 6 pounds, which would have meant not drinking water for 2 days. Like, at that weight, it is so ridiculously easy to get that 6 pounds, and we had 4 months to prepare.
Yeah.
And he refused because he didn't want to fight that girl. And so for the rest,
he was looking for that out, and it was served to him on a silver platter.
Absolutely. And he talked so much shit. He talked about how he was going to beat her ass. He was so excited about it, and then I don't think it'll ever happen. To this day, I kind of want to get another female MMA fighter now that it's become more popular and they have bigger weight classes. I just want to get one to attack him in the street.
There is a type of person, though, that I don't think this. I mean, this guy might have felt it in a mirror, a moment of beer confidence, or he might. But I do believe this guy knew the minute you found the person that he was not going to win.
Yes.
I don't think he was that stupid.
Absolutely.
However, there is a type of person that will push a lie or something to the absolute limit before they let it go.
Yeah.
For sure.
Look at Casey Anthony, all right? Remember Casey Anthony killing baby? Like, she's like, hey, I work at SeaWorld or wherever it was.
Yeah, it was Universal Studios.
Universal Studios. And they're like,
this is such a great story.
Well, go ahead. For those of you that fucking don't know the Casey Anthony, like, lead up to the trial, tune in right real quick. The cops said, we don't have any record of you working at Universal Studios. We've called everyone in HR. There's no records. You went, oh, no. I do. And so she took the cops to Universal Studios, pointed to a building, was like, that's the one. I work in there. Went up an elevator to, like, the third floor, because why the fuck not? And was like, here we are.
Went to a receptionist.
Yes.
Into a receptionist and was like, hey, it's me, Casey, you
and
know?
She was waving to people. Like, really, she was walking through this building where no one had ever seen her because she'd never fucking been there. And was like, oh, hi, Mark.
She's George Costanza taking his future in-laws to it.
And, like, she just, like, right down this hallway. And then she just hit a dead end and her shoulders slumped and went, all right, look. I forgot. I actually don't work here or have a job.
It was crazy.
And now that's what I think of this guy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the people are like that because it works out for them sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes God comes down from the heavens and gives them such a perfect, like, she was hoping for a, oh, there's no 50-pound weight difference. She was hoping for, like, someone to be like, sorry, someone called in a fire here.
Yeah.
And so
or,
she could
or
be like,
she's hoping that the cops just give up. Like, okay, you're walking us down a hallway. All right.
Yeah, we get it. We don't need to go up to the third floor.
I think she was hoping that she'd walk by an empty office and be able to sit down and be like, here I am. This is my thing. Because you have to hear the lead-ups. I was listening to a few of the true crime podcasts about that particular case. And, like, she's been pulling this shit her whole life. And guess what? It worked because she got off. She murdered her daughter and got off. Very blatantly, very openly murdered her daughter and got off with it because this is the lifestyle that she's led her entire life. Her mom was like this crazy enabler who would allow her to do all this stuff. She claimed to not be pregnant when she was actually pregnant with that daughter that she murdered. She claimed to not be pregnant for like 8 months. She was at barbecues and people are like, oh my God, what are you doing? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, you're 8 months pregnant. You're very obviously pregnant. What are you doing? She's like, I'm not pregnant.
Have you ever been in a relationship with someone like that? Because I have.
Really? That far?
Yes.
No, I've never been that far.
It would, you know, there would be times like, all right, you, like, all right. So there was a point in a relationship I had where I knew she was at very minimum a compulsive liar.
It's
like
when she told me she worked at Universal Studios.
Yeah. And I asked where our kid was, and she's like,
what kid? What are you talking about?
Then we both high-fived.
Zenaida Gonzalez has her. I don't know.
Nanny the nanny.
Yeah. So anyways, I could tell that this person was at least a compulsive liar. And I don't know why I put up with it for the year and a half I did. But anyways, this would happen. I'd be like, I could start telling when she wasn't telling the truth. I'm like, what'd you do today? Because you were supposed to grocery shop and clean up the house because you don't fucking work. And she'd be like, I looked for a job. Where? To the gas station down the street. Okay, who'd you talk to? Miles, the manager. I'm like, well, let's go down
Miles
there.
Miles is
and
not
ask,
management material, okay, yeah, first of all.
And let's go talk to them. And it would be the same kind of thing where we'd go down there. I'd be like, does anyone work here named Miles? And then she'd be like, all right, fine, I didn't do anything. I'm like,
wow. She'd let you ask the question.
Oh, yeah. She would push it as far as it could possibly go. Yeah, like another time, she was like, your ex-girlfriend is harassing me. I'm like, I don't think so. And, you know, I'm like, all right, well, listen, I'm going to call her and ask her why she did this to you. If that didn't happen, let's talk about that. Maybe, you know, you're feeling insecure. We can talk about that. I understand emotional problems. But if this didn't happen, you need to tell me now before I embarrass both of us and call her. It happened. Call her. And then, and all of a sudden, she'd pick up the phone. I'd have the conversation on speaker. And I'd be like, did you call my current girlfriend?
She's and like, your girlfriend's like, I got to go to work at the gas station. Bye.
Yeah, out the door. These kind of things happen with these people.
This is so insanely frustrating to me. Because when I hear that, I'm like, there needs to be vengeance or justice. And there never is. Again, they're Casey Anthony.
Oh, absolutely.
They get off.
Yeah.
I kind of want to start something. You guys help me work this idea out.
Wait a second. You want to start something about vigilantism and justice?
Yes, I do.
Play the theme song.
Get out of town.
Vigilante. Justice. Vigilante. Vigilante. Justice.
All right, so here is my idea, and you guys can help me work this out. We need these people to pay for this type of behavior, the lie.
I demand restitution.
Literally. And in this case, I think I have a way to do it, and almost like a betting system. So the way it works is you come home and you say to the girlfriend, what'd you do? She said, I went and looked for a job. You get a tingle that something's wrong, and you go, did you really? And she goes, yes. And you can even say, you know, I don't really believe you right now. Here's your chance to come clean with me. Please be honest. Did you go out and look for a job? And she goes, yes, I absolutely did. You log on to this website called liarornot.com.
Oh, I'm in.
You both put in your credit card information, and it reduces whatever the bet is. Let's say, okay, I don't think you're telling the truth. I'm not 100% sure, but let's say I'm willing to bet $75 you're not telling the truth.
You'll never get that far because they'll go to put in their credit card information. It'll be a 16-digit number they're making up on the spot. And be like, hey, babe, that card's not going through. No, no, I swear, that's my card. Okay, what kind of card is it? American Express. All right, let's call American Express. You're going to go through this whole fucking thing.
Okay, you have to let them
You're never going to get them.
You have to let them put the card in. But
they're not going to do it.
You know what? In fact, if you have a girlfriend like Ryan's ex-girlfriend, you get an account form.
Yeah, ready.
So anyway, you both log in. You put in $75. You can even have outsiders bet. Here's the scenario. I came home. She said this, this, and this. Here's why I believe. They can bet on it. Yeah, I think she's telling the truth. I think she's not. They pull that money out and hold it in an escrow account. Then when the truth is determined, whoever was either the person was lying or telling the truth. If they were lying, they lose their money. If they're telling the truth, they get your money.
Okay. They're never going to put money in. You're never going to get to
you,
that
you
point.
You do that before. That's the point. Up until that point, they're claiming that they're
they
telling the truth.
They never had any money in the first place. Right, where's right. this coming from? Yeah. Well, they're going to borrow it from me.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
In that case, you are correct. That might be a hard one on this one. But usually, they are adamant that they're telling the truth up to that point. So if they would not put the money in, that would be an admission that they are lying. If
no,
nothing,
that would just be like the car's not working. Oh, wait, the car got canceled. Someone stole the car.
It doesn't matter. At that point, you don't need to go chase out the lie because you know it's a lie.
I'm almost envious of the black and white determination of a lie ability that you think you have. Like,
absolutely.
It's never going to go that clean. It's
absolutely.
Never going to go that clean. They're never going to be confronted and be like, you know what? You got me.
He just said yeah. they did it. He just said they walked into
right.
the gas
but,
station
but
and
with,
she
but
said,
you, but I'm saying
you
signing
gotta
up with
the
credit card.
The
they're not going to get to the credit card point. They're never going to put money in.
The credit card is well before that. And if they don't put money in, then they've admitted essentially that they're lying.
But then what? You don't get any money from them.
But it doesn't matter. You go, okay, I've just saved a trip. Now I don't have to drive down to the gas station.
Yeah, okay, nah. All right. Why do you think we stay in relationships with these types of people for as long as we do? Bobby, what do you think? You're an analytical guy.
Yeah, well, it depends. When you're young, you're just an idiot. That's I mean, that's
right.
That's just straight up, especially—
Well, hang on. When you're old, you're kind of an idiot, too.
Yeah, that's true. Especially young men and sex. If you're having good sex— God, good sex is one of the worst things that can happen to a bad relationship.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because you know what? Bad sex, those end.
Yes.
Those
absolutely. You're done with it. You have no reason to stay. You're looking elsewhere. But you find that one girl who rocks your world. And let me just say, there's a strong correlation between nutty-ass bitches and great sex.
Yeah.
That really gets you bad, right?
Yeah. You know, I think we probably each know, and maybe we are this guy to a certain extent, that cannot be happy with a decent person,
right?
Because there is no excitement factor.
Yeah,
you know, like I remember this. You got to find someone you can get weird with. All right, that's
right.
The bottom line. And like I remember, I got out of a bad thing. It was like the 10th bad relationship in a row, and I found a really nice girl named was Corinne. She had her shit together. She was in school. She didn't have a baby's daddy in jail that was still writing threatening letters. Her parents weren't fucking ex-meth addicts. I'm like, this is all new. Maybe this would be good for me. And it would have. But then, like one of the nights we were sitting home together, we were watching TV on like a Tuesday night. I went up to go to the fridge. He's like, you're having a second beer? I'm like, oh, that's not going to work.
I need you to be more flawed so my flaws don't stick out.
No, that's right. A factor, dude. Sometimes, whether it's subconscious or not, like sometimes you don't want to be the piece of shit in the relationship.
Right.
Interesting.
Like, I don't need someone better than me because then I'm the fucking...
And I had to tell her, look, if you're getting like this over number two, I got news for you. There's an eighth one coming. I don't know how you're going to be at number 10 because that's on its way too and there's nothing you can
and literally, I don't know. I won't remember.
You can do whatever you want. So but there has to be a line
right.
between someone who will police you because they're spotless. That's no fun.
Yeah.
And also, that's the correlation with the boring sex, too. That's missionary-only status.
Yeah. And then the difference would be someone between that and somebody who calls you on your shit. Because you also can't have somebody who doesn't call you on your shit. That won't be healthy either.
That's no good either. So, you know, so I was thinking about this topic. And I reached out to our listeners, and I collected some horror stories about what they've endured and stuck with. I asked a question online. I said, okay, send me who you got who that you stayed with and made excuses for.
Oh, my God.
So I got a few of those here right now.
How many of Ryan's ex's phone hit.
Again, how many of the males in this are going to be doing it because of good sex? It has to be super
I
high.
Think that goes both ways.
Maybe.
There's a lot of lame dudes out there that have lame dick, bro. That's what I've heard.
Lame dick.
Hey, I know it, man. I'm telling you.
I think in some ways it's kind of like heroin. Like you, if you could pull that guy away and get him on a long camping trip for 2.5 weeks and just get him away from it for long enough, you might be able to be like, hey, let's reasonably look at what a horrible human being this is. And he'd go, but the constant good sex, like a bad relationship with good sex is like one yeast infection away from being over.
Yo, look, you know what, Bobby? I got to go the opposite way on you. I think that women stay in bad relationships for long periods of time for the good sex more than men do.
Whoa.
Because here's why, is that we don't think about certain things, about what it looks like for a female to be single, because if we get a girl to go home with us, after a drunken night at the bar. You know, let's be honest. A guy is able to be selfish if he wants to be, okay?
Sure.
If a woman goes home with a dud, there's a lot of factors we don't realize. First of all, a vagina is a vagina to us, but to a weird-looking dick, I don't think we realize how many of those are out there. And fucking women have to go home, and he disrobes, and there's a Dr. Seuss tree penis.
That's not normal?
I did not factor in the WLD. I did not put that into my calculation.
And you know what? We've never had to like be home. We've never brought a hot chick home who was really cool and funny, and she disrobed like, oh, she has a tiny vagina. That won't satisfy
that enough. Won't work.
Yeah, we don't have that factor, and I've never slept with a girl that was like, all right, let's do this. I'm going home. So there's all these factors, so that I think when a woman finally finds a dude that can handle business, and he's like, oh, by the way, I have 8 kids with 8 different chicks, they're like, I really don't want to go back to Dr. Seuss tree penis. we can work past this. So I think it happens with women more.
Very interesting idea. I would actually, you know what? I'm going to spend the next week designing a scientific test for this to see which one is more true.
Yes. Think about who is more unsatisfied by one night stands, guys or girls. It's girls across the board.
Sure. And I grant you that. I would just say also think for whom sex is more an important part of the relationship. And that's definitely dudes. A woman... Many women can go conceivably without sex for decent periods of time and be just fine.
No, they're going crazy.
We will claw
poor
up.
Poor Bobby. That's what all his old girlfriends
told.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, I don't need this anymore.
We don't need this anymore.
Get that weird looking dick out of here.
Okay, so let's go through this. These are men and women that responded. Okay, let's see here. Okay, this one here. This comes from Dan in Indianapolis. All right, I dated a girl all my friends hated a long time ago. She was rude, noisy, overly aggressive, and generally unpleasant to be around. So she just sucked across the board.
Yeah.
So right there, I'm guessing good sex.
Hot.
It's got to be.
Probably hot.
Oh, yeah.
Or he was accidentally dating a honey badger.
Yeah. She kept clawing at my legs.
You know what? He adds a nice little ripple here. I think Dave touched on it earlier. I stayed with her based on a combination of depression, lack of self-worth, and she was very attractive.
There we go.
It's everything. Okay, yeah. So that's, I think that might be more of the guy thing, is like, I'm a piece of shit, I'll never do better than this.
Yeah.
Like, I think typically speaking, women don't want to go back out to the single world, whereas guys are like, there's no one out there for me. Women don't want to have lame sex. Guys don't want to have no sex.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we're both working with.
Right, and the threat is different to each, because a woman knows that any day of the week, on a Tuesday night, she can walk into a bar and get laid, no problem. All she has to do is raise her hand and go, who wants to get laid? She's done.
That's why I think breakups are very unfair on men.
Right, of course.
There needs to be a contract, like, you need to give me a head start on the rebound, because you get one right away. I can't just show up to the bar sad and crying and get laid. You can.
Ryan is right, actually. If you want to make things equal and you're a guy and the relationship is fizzling out, start cheating. That's the only way to make it equal. You got to get that head start.
Oh, all right. This one comes from our friend Carrie in Limerick, Ireland. Had an ex who was emotionally abusive and kept cheating on me with a guy she claimed to hate. I excused her abusiveness as being a result of her mental health issues. Okay, that's another one.
Yep.
They're damaged. They're damaged.
Yep.
Okay, so that's another one. I think that's played a part with me before, is that like I always felt like I was never given a fair shake by the greater society.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, I would hate to judge someone else based on their eccentricities the way I've been judged. So I'm going to overlook a ton of shit.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that, I think. That comes to play. Thank you, Carrie.
I think a lot of it, too, is just when you're super young, depending on who you are, you probably just don't have the self-esteem to realize that you're worth not being treated that way and dump those people. You know, like, when you get old, that's why I feel like those people, men or women, that act that way, that treat their partners that way, they have a much harder time in, like, their 30s and 40s and stuff, right? Like, their teens and 20s are their time because everybody's too stupid to realize what's going on and they'll just accept them. But at some point, the road becomes very hard for those people.
Yeah. This one comes from Jen in Grand Rapids. She writes to us and says, manipulative, mentally abusive, and I didn't realize it until someone else pointed it out to me. Okay, so there's a ripple. You don't really see it going on. And so she says, because he had zero social skills, I would just say that he was quiet. Okay.
He beats me really quietly. Like, nobody, neighbors don't complain.
Yeah, no, that's part of the plan there.
Oh, man.
All right. Carly in Denver. My ex was an alcoholic, and I ended up, hey, you don't know his story.
Yeah, right.
My ex
is
was.
Is that your second beer?
Oh, God, this is my that ex I was talking about. She's talking about me. My ex was an alcoholic, and I ended up just flat out lying to everyone I loved that he was great to me. So I asked the question, how'd you excuse this to your people?
Right.
I didn't think about, like, some people, they never see it.
Yeah.
So I ended up lying to everyone I loved that he was great to me. He didn't have a problem, and he was an amazing person. Ultimately, I ended up cutting out everyone out of my life just to be with him so they wouldn't see how bad it was.
That's something, too. It's like sometimes you're too embarrassed to just be like, yeah. Oh, my God, this is shitty. I don't want anyone to know how shitty this is.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Carly in Denver. There's another good one here.
You also, I don't know, have you guys ever been in the position where this is your friend? Your friend is the one who's got the really bad girlfriend and, like, you got to do something. I had one where my very, very close friend, probably one of my best friends, was actually going to get married to somebody who was the absolute wrong person for them, like just treated them like shit the whole nine yards.
Well, define treated like shit. Give me an example.
Talked down to them, just was very, very mean, caustic, not a very loving person, just kind of a horrible, horrible human, and would constantly berate this person and talk shit to them and tell them that they weren't their dreams.
In front of you? Or they tell you this?
Sometimes in front of me, yeah. We pulled him aside one time and basically said, hey, man, this doesn't seem right. Are you sure? Because it was after he got engaged. Like, are you sure this is what you want? And his thing to us was like, hey, this makes me happy. Just leave me be. And when a buddy says that, you kind of got to do that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When a buddy says that, you're like, all right, if this makes you happy, fine. I guess everybody's different, you know. Yeah.
Some people like being berated in front
not
of
sure
people.
I'm not sure you know what the word happy means.
Yeah, it ended up being a horrible marriage, and he got divorced and was much, much happier after that. But there is that thing where you see that happening to your friend, and I don't know about you guys, but I've been in a few bad relationships, nothing horrible. But when you see it happen to a friend, for some reason, it gets you so much more pissed off than when it happens to you.
Well, yes, because you can lie to yourself.
Yeah, you don't have all those mechanisms in place. You're watching this from the outside.
Yeah. No, what's worse is when, okay, it's one thing if they stay in this shitty, toxic thing. It's another where they keep breaking up and almost getting out of it, because that gives you hope your friend, you know? I had a friend that just, you know, he would keep going through the cycle of, I mean, she was a quote-unquote recovering addict. There's nothing recovered about her, you know, and they had a kid together, and he continued this cycle of, hey, she's better. She's, you know, 3 days sober. Things are going to work out. All right, she's drinking again. Just not much. A couple beers on the weeknights. A lot more on the weekends. all right, so she's smoking weed again. Hey, that keeps her off the pills. Okay,
right.
Okay, she's doing a couple pills now and again. And here's the problem. Finally, she'd go off and, like, run off with a dealer and, like, hole up in a motel. So, obviously, that's a humiliation. And he'd be like, we're done. But then he himself would go into a spiral of drinking and depression where you're just worried about him more than you were when he was in the shitty thing. And then they're almost done. They're almost done. You can sense they will be find a new girl within the month. Hey, guys. She went back to AA. She's having an occasional beer now and again. You're like, how many times do I go through this with you? And there's no amount. The problem is the people that always think this time's the last time. I would at least like someone that could, at the wherewithal, to go, this is probably not the last time, but I'm fucked up, okay?
And you know what? It's only my third beer. Here's a good one, though. Have you ever been the opposite? Has your friend ever been the kind of shitty person in a relationship? Because I'll tell
good
you this.
Good question. Now, we forgive our friends just as much as we forgive our significant others.
Right. Well, so the same guy I was talking about, the dude who wanted to set the fight up with the woman because he can beat up any woman.
What was going on with his relationship? Well, weren't perfect?
He's, So obviously not, you know, he's not like a...
his girlfriend used to beat him.
He's not like a good human. you know, he's like just
I gathered
just
that.
Just a bad human. But anyway, he, in the past few years, has started dating this amazing woman. She's beautiful. She's funny. She's fun to be around. She's the only reason we invite him most places.
Oh, yeah.
We want to hang out with him. And I was talking to my wife at one point. I go, what do you think her friends think? Like, what when she brings this piece of shit around?
What do you think?
Everybody's got to be looking at her like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, what are you doing,
what
Sharon?
What are you doing?
Yeah. You know, I think I'd like to think I don't surround myself with that kind of person who is the piece of shit.
Right.
However, I think that going back to the beginning of this conversation, I think I've been around definitely the guys that got out of it with the cycle of drugs and alcohol and emotional abuse and cheating, and then do find the nice girl, albeit she might be on their own time. You're having a second beer, lady.
Yeah.
But then I had to watch them not give a shit because they're not exciting.
Yeah.
And then I just had to watch them ruin this thing that would have been good for them because it's not exciting. And they probably have a Dr. Seuss penis. I don't know their setup.
One of the downsides of like the modern world where we're in cities with millions of people and we can go on Tinder or Match.com is that you can find the person that you want to find. And sometimes that's not good for you. Sometimes you need to be just paired with the girl from next door who happened to be more sane than the person you're going to go seek out.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the truth.
Yeah, no, one of the listener responses is going to be like, I was dating this guy who hired a fake fortune teller. I was going to break up with him, but the fortune teller told me not to.
I got one from Anna in Boston, Massachusetts. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what it was specifically about him. I'd ask people, and they would just give me vague answers. Oh, that's a weird one. Like, he just gave them a bad vibes, or he wasn't a nice person, or they just didn't like him. We're not exactly sure why.
They said he had a shitty face tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Bragging about this money should go to my child support, but I'm throwing it at the bar. That was red flags. She also says, sometimes they said that he was just off, quote unquote. Oh. It was always kind of vague answers. It got so bad people wouldn't really invite me anywhere or meet me unless he specifically didn't come along. I always defended it by saying, oh, he is a really nice guy. You just don't know him. Oh, I love that.
There we go.
Classic.
Yeah.
Let's see. He has a hard time with people, social anxiety, and I kind of blew it off. Turns out everyone was 100% correct. I actually haven't read this whole one all the way through, so I'm curious.
By the way, I do like the idea of he's actually a really nice guy. Like, there's some guy who's like, you know, I love to really treat and spoil my lady and be super sweet to her, but then in public, I just call her a cunt. Like, that's the way I run my relationships.
Okay, so they're 100% correct. The guy was a genuine sociopath. Yeah. I guess I didn't see it because he really put on an act for me. And I guess I didn't try hard as with other people. And so they saw the mask.
Yeah, well, sociopaths can do that. One of the things they do is they blend in really well, you know, with society in general, and they can fake empathy and fake being a normal person. And
they're like Data from Star Wars. They're like, they study humans, and they take
Data's
notes.
Data's from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Bobby, the look of disgust on your face. That was so classic.
Could have gone Spock from original Star Trek.
I did it just at this
time.
My dad used to watch The Next Generation every fucking day.
Smart man.
Yeah. Who's the guy with the beard? I like that guy.
Get him.
Talk about Riker, goddammit!
Anyways, won't go into too many details. He's a scary dude with a criminal history. Turned abusive. Oh, good.
Well, the thing about sociopaths, what's funny is that's how a lot of people describe them, is that there's something off, but they can't put their finger on it. You know, like, we've all met autistic people. Within 5 minutes, we go, oh, that guy's autistic, right? You know, like, there are things. You can meet a bipolar person, and assuming you're there during a manic or a depressive state, you go, oh, this is a bipolar person, or this is schizophrenic. The thing about sociopaths and psychopaths is that they are very good at, like, masking that and hiding. And so you
hide yours really well, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been trying.
Honestly surprised.
I've been trying. But they hide it really well, and they kind of fly under.
He's like Yoda from Deep Space Nine.
God, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. They slide it underneath the radar in such a way that they come off almost all the way there. They come off. Have you ever heard the term the uncanny valley? It has to do with.
I have not. Explain.
It has to do with the fact that computer generation can't quite get like a human face. So if you watch Pixar, they don't have real human-looking humans. They have cartoon-looking humans.
They kind of look like a balloon with a face drawn on it.
Right, because we can't quite do realistic humans. So we have this thing called the uncanny valley, where if you're 95% of the way there, but 5% not there, it looks really wrong and creepy to us, right? Much more so than if you're 60% there and you've made the rest of it a cartoon. So you either have to be 100% or 60%.
So is it like a visceral thing why people have phobias of people with deformities? Because it's like, that's not human.
Yeah, a big example of it, I think there was a one called Beowulf that came out with Angelina Jolie, and people had a big problem with it because of the Uncanny Valley, because they kind of tried to digitize
12 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, they tried to digitize it, and it didn't work out well. I think there's something like that with sociopaths where they can almost pull it off. In some instances, they can totally pull it off. And for the rest of the time, they can almost pull it off. But it's that 5% that kind of gives everybody the willies, where we're like, I can't tell you what it is. He didn't say anything specifically weird to me, but there's something off about that guy.
And sometimes they'll give it away in like a thing they say, where you're like, oh my God, this guy is not exactly what I thought. I had a guy who...
He's watching The Hills Have Eyes. He's like, this is hot.
Yes. This will give me the pee shivers. When I was first fighting, trying to become a pro, I trained with a guy who he was a belt above me in jiu-jitsu. He wasn't really a striker, but he did a lot of work with me grappling on his own time. Uh-huh. He would drive down to the gym on his motorcycle just to meet with me so we could go through different combinations. It seemed like a really nice guy. Had him over to my apartment a few times for beers. Took him out to the bar one time. He was actually a year younger than me. I snuck him into a bar when he was 20. And we were at his house one day. We were just like watching YouTube videos on his computer. He's like, hey, by the way, do you want a pint of vodka? And I went, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to drink it, so you can take it with you when you leave. I'm like, all right, why? Why do you have a pint of vodka you're not going to drink? He's like, well, me and my friends try and feed girls these pints of vodka to try and double team them, and this one girl didn't come over, and so if I'm not going to double team a girl who's too drunk to not consent, then I don't even want it. And I remember just staring at him, waiting for him to say, just kidding.
Right.
Waiting for him to be like, that'd be creepy, wouldn't it?
But it'd
like,
be even better if he just kind of stops and then looks back and goes, or you can drink it here.
Yeah. I know this is what you were thinking. No, I just slowly put the vodka back on the table and went, I have to go and never come back.
Yeah. My fingerprints, I need to be wiped from this apartment.
Yeah, I would like a whole sweep and clear if it's all possible. All right, let's two more. Okay, this one, she does listen, but she's also a personal friend, my friend Ashley. This one I didn't know about this guy. It must have been before her and I became friends. Ashley, San Diego. One of my exes was a raging alcoholic, still is. Everyone hated him because he'd get drunk and start saying racial slurs and faggot a bunch.
Wow.
One time at a family party, he told me that my cousin was hot.
Well, let's see the cousin.
Hey.
And if I worked out, I could be hot too.
Oh, that's a special shame because she is very, very hot. Yeah. So that's weird.
I'd make excuses for him by saying he was only an asshole when he was drunk.
Which is all the time.
He was, you got it. He was drunk all the goddamn time. I'm sure he made everyone uncomfortable. I'd excuse him by laughing it off and saying, oh, he doesn't really feel that way. Or he's so sweet when he's not drinking. I swear. I was in denial. Wait for it. This ending fucking got me. I was in denial that he had an issue until he beat someone up at a wedding.
He was actually getting married to it, and it was the bride.
That's what I should have asked. Now, I only asked listeners, how did you excuse their behavior to yourself and others? I didn't ask them, what was the straw? Now, that's that's a better question. Yeah. Oh, better episode. Fuck.
I was honestly hoping the end of that story would be like, I didn't realize how bad he was until he had a second beer one night.
Can I just say, by the way, I have almost beat somebody up at a wedding, and it was totally justified.
Go on.
My sister...
Hey, wait, play the Vigilante theme song.
Thank you. My sister had the most white trash wedding I've ever been a part of or even heard of.
Challenge.
It was at a park in Lakeside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right. You were required to beat someone up.
Yeah, well...
I get to tell mine after, though.
Okay, so it was at a park in Lakeside. The guest list was not upstanding clientele. And one person came who was, I guess, distantly a friend of
a friend. He was wearing his good sleeveless shirt.
Funny thing, he was in a sleeveless shirt.
Sorry, barely.
He was in a sleeveless camo army jacket, to be precise.
Cool.
And I have pictures to prove it.
Get her done!
He got physical with his girlfriend in the parking lot of the wedding.
Wait, all right, now, how visible was he to everyone? I'm not saying it's excusable by any means, but like, how big a scene was it? Was it like two or three people were like, holy shit, Ralph's roughing up Jen in the parking lot? Or was it like, everyone turned, and this guy was just fucking teeing off on
her. He was not in view of everybody?
No, because he was in camo. No one could see him.
Right. Well, except his arms.
Oh, there's two floating arms.
Just flailing away.
So he started yelling at his girlfriend. There was probably about a dozen people with an eyesight, earsight, and one of them was me and my now wife, then girlfriend.
Did you just say earsight?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
He starts yelling at her, and he grabs her by the shoulders, and she looks at me like,
are you going to do something?
Are you going to do something? I was like, fuck yeah, and I like start hustling over, and they see me walking quickly towards them, and they all jump in the car and take off.
Okay.
But I certainly almost beat somebody up at a wedding.
All right, well, he started it.
Yeah, it's not always bad.
I remember I got invited to one. Now, it was at the venue over near the bay that everyone gets married at in San Diego.
Okay.
It was there, and that's a cool place. Mm-hmm. However, it felt like everyone that was invited just found out about it an hour ago, the way they were dressed. So anyways, one guy showed up, I remember, sports coat over a tank top, board shorts, sideways hat. That sports coat was really holding the outfit together
wow.
in his mind. So anyways, the couple that got married.
Wait. To be fair, they were his dress board shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, there was this good bathing suit.
He had ironed them.
That bathing suit was for company. So, so anyways, they only had the venue for an hour. So they're like, all right, we're going to get married while we're serving you guys dinner. And then we're going to do everything. Like, we need to pack this in an hour. By the way, we have some Mexican for you. So they
wrote. And then they just kicked out. Do they have another place to go? After
no. So
drive by wedding.
Yeah, but we just went to this place. They're like, we have for an hour. Let's do it.
And like, it was actually just an hour in between two other weddings. They were like squatting.
It was like, wedding. No, I think I was eating someone else's food.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it takes us longer to record this fucking podcast. What are you doing for the night? What are you doing later? It's 2:30. What are you doing? We're going to go see a movie at 4. Oh, sorry. I got a wedding. No. I can make it though.
No. By the way, they had on the patio before we were allowed inside, because they were doing something with it. They're like, on the patio, we have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres for 15 minutes. Not lying. And so they had like these bowls of cubed cheese and strawberries out and a cash bar. And so everyone got to have half their drink. They're like, all right, go inside.
Wow.
Go in. We're going to do this thing. They had their friend get ordained online on amacheapskate.com. And like they wrote their own vows. And
obviously.
This guy who's in like this oversized suit, looks like he's wearing his dad's clothes when he's 10.
It's like the old Talking Heads video.
He went to the thrift store and just said, give me a suit. They're like, want to try one on? He went, no. And so he's wearing that, and he is visibly stoned as a motherfucker. I hope just on weed. And this, I've never been able to forget his vows he wrote, quote unquote, for his wedding. It was this. He rubbed his eyes. She's like, oh, they have their own, Justin. He goes, I didn't really write anything down, so I guess I'm going to wing it. I'm not making a word of this up. I'll bring my friend Dave, who I took as my date to this wedding, to fucking back me up. He went, I didn't write anything down, so I guess I'm going to wing it. Tammy, you're cool. I mean, I never thought I'd get married, but here I am, so I guess I am. That's it. That was it.
What else is there to say, really?
Oh, I'll tell you, because it went over to Tammy, who wiped her eyes from the tears and went, I don't know how I can follow that. And I just went, and I ran outside to hide my laughter to where those bowls of cubed cheese were. And there he is, Mr. Bathing Suit and sports coat himself, hiding cheese over the wall for him to come back and recoup later.
That's such a genius plan.
He's hiding fucking bowls of cheese. He turns around. I'm just staring at him with a look that I'm sure was judgmental.
And P.S., you're now what? 35 minutes of this wedding? He could just put them in his mouth and they dissolve by the fucking end. I don't know what he's hiding them for. They're going
to
be gone.
By the way, you can still go by there to this day and sometimes find a cube of cheese in a random bush somewhere.
The kids say you can still smell it when the tide is right.
He turns to me. He sees the way I'm looking at him in his fucking sports coat bathing suit hat combo and just launches into a fucking defense of himself. He's like, no one's going to eat all that cheese. I'm like, I understand that. You're stealing cheese at a wedding, though. He's like, look at it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Give
I feel
a piece.
Like, given everything you've told us about the wedding, it was Velveeta.
Yeah, so anyway, that was that. Oh, I forgot our last story that I really had to bring up. This person wanted to stay anonymous. Okay. My ex had a sword collection right there.
Well, let's not go too
don't
bad.
Jump to conclusions.
Sometimes you need swords.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's just a good
sword. Everyone get out of my garage.
Sometimes you need a Klingon batleth because it's either better
than a
sword.
Sometimes you wear a fucking bathing suit to a
blade,
wedding.
Which is arguably better.
It's not even close.
Is that on that one show, Battlestar Galactica?
God damn it.
They have bears on that show, right? So anyways, my ex had a sword collection and loved Nickelback.
Okay,
it was
me.
A major point of contention. For
the
others,
Nickelback or the swords?
Both. For others, I didn't mind the swords all that much. I did
reasonable.
Relentlessly shame him for the Nickelback, though. I'd like to remain anonymous because of the Nickelback. He also boned a whole bunch of strippers and hid it from me.
But, I feel like that should have been the first thing that was wrong.
But we were trying out the old open casual thing. So really, it was more about the Nickelback.
To be fair, if you have a bunch of sweet-ass swords, you're going to get some sweet stripper tail. I mean, that's just part of the way that works. Why you get swords.
Do you walk in that club with the blade stored across your back?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them it doesn't have that feature where they open up the pins of the handle. They don't know that don't work.
No, not at all. Yeah.
That was a good one. That was just like, he was a dork. No. Anyway, I want to close on one thing. A comedy legend has died. Mitzi Shore is dead at, what, 86?
Founder of the Comedy Store.
No relation, Ryan.
None. It's weird when people ask me, too. They're like, oh, you Pauly Shore's brother? I'm like, yes. We just, because brothers sometimes exclude a letter.
maybe they just think you're plural, like you're two of Pauly Shore.
I'd say so, talent-wise.
Yeah.
So anyways, Mitzi Shore, but a lot of people don't know. The casual fan of comedy doesn't know that Pauly Shore, the whistle, and the Comedy Store, the most legendary club there's ever been,
right.
That launched almost every famous comic from the boom. They're all connected because Mitzi, she got the store from her husband.
Yeah, there's a divorce.
In a divorce. He was just kind of like a layabout that bought this place as a hang for his friends.
It used to be like a mobster spot, too.
Before she took it over, this layabout would just be like, hey, let's all do comedy for each other the way open mics are now. Yeah. And then everyone just walk behind the bar and make themselves a drink. We'll get drunk and then maybe do some coke. She divorced him, she got the place, and turned it into this mecca. So she really did create modern comedy for what it is.
Yep.
At very least, she was a figurehead in it. And she's famous for bad advice.
Yeah.
Especially
in her elder years.
Yes. I know that a former guest on this show and a current mentor to producer Robert Timothy, Patrick DeGear, he's blind. Her whole bit was he should walk out backwards and face the opposite direction. These are the kind of nuggets she was dispensing. But
isn't she the one that gave Carlos Mencia his name?
Yes. She told Mark Maron famously, you're like a poet up there. You should wear a scarf. So anyway, she maybe advice wasn't her forte, but she definitely was an important figure in something that we're all doing today. So rest in peace, Mitzi. You had a good run. Anyway.
You know, one thing, I don't know if this is actually a concern or not, but I was wondering, I would hate if her kids then sold the store, because that is such a valuable piece of land in L.A.
And they're all, well, you know what, though, she had dementia. She's not been her
she
for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
I think they've had the power to do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And if it was going to happen, it would have happened.
Hopefully.
And quite frankly, if you sold the store, it would probably be picked up by a wealthy comic who would then make it even better. Like, I mean,
No way. Wealthy developer is going to be the comic every time.
No. The House of Blues across the street from the Hollywood store. That was a landmark, you know. They sold that. Someone's like, oh, cool, level it. I'm building condos.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happened. That's prime real estate in the Sunset Strip. That's office buildings.
I just feel like Joe Rogan and Kevin Hardin would step up and buy that thing.
Not enough money.
Yeah, now. Anyway, so she'll be missed by immediate family. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying, see you next week. Cruising with the two. There's a lot of lame dudes out there that have lame dick, bro. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.